Okay, dear Dhamma friends, today is the second day in our English series. So, may everyone settle down and give the consent with three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Panchai bhikkave dhammei samannagato bhikkhu na chirasseva akuppam pativijjati iti. Dear Dhamma friends, we took this particular discourse known as Akuppa Sutta. You find in the book of 5 on the Anguttara Nikaya. And whereby the Buddha is telling, when endorsed with these 5 qualities, he's emphasizing 5 qualities, and he says, if someone is endorsed with these 5 qualities, in no long time a monk penetrates or into the unshakable. So, in short, if someone wishes to have unshakable mind, he or she must have these 5 qualities. Whenever these 5 qualities are fulfilled, no soon he or she will develop the penetrating knowledge and the intuition towards the unshakable. So yesterday we tried to sort it out whether we individually really asking for this kind of unshakability, or we are very happy with this present day, the shaking situation. So first and foremost thing is how one will appreciate the unshakability. If that is being cleared, if that is being expressed, then only one has to give detailed approach in order to achieve this unshakable nature of the mind. What are the 5 qualities? What are the 5 proximate causes? So, the first one, it's been known as Atta Parisambhita Patto Hoti, that he or she must have the discrimination of the meaning or the value, that means superficial value or common sense, that is the starting point. So we try to understand how one find the relationship with this one and our meditation, or how one can connect this teaching of the Buddha from the pragmatic point of view. There we have to understand, if someone wish to have this penetrating kind of intuition or to the unshakable situation, he can't start with the everything in the world, everything in the universe. Instead, he or she has to select one particular object or one particular pivotal point or one particular reference point and try to be thorough about that particular thing, that particular object, that particular pivotal point, that particular reference point in terms of common sense. So that is how the teaching of the Buddha become very scientific. Scientific is, science is a kind of a reductionism. No, any religion is inviting you to intuitively look into the intelligent design. It appear like something wrong. It appear like something blasphemy, challenging like. So therefore, take one part of this creation and going to analyze it is a challenge to the creature as well as to the creator. So therefore, before the Buddha, that was completely beyond the human experimenting. Together with the Buddha, there was Mahavira, Nigantanathaputta. Both of them came from the Kingsley family. And they always have the sword in their hand as a weapon. So whatever come across, they chop into two and three and four and fifth and analyze it. That is the Kshatriya. Kshatriya means they cut. They are merciless. So Buddha also well trained to how to use the sword. So it's analytical. So Brahmana, before the king's family became prominent, Brahmanas, they never dissect, they never analyze the creatures, creator. So therefore cut opening a human body or anything is appear like it's a taboo, forbidden thing. But the Buddha, as well as the Nigandhanatha Buddha, it was a kind of a evolution in the human thing, specifically in the caste system, they start cut open. And therefore, the existing society at large consider these two people as something going against the grain. And therefore, when you are reading the Nigandhanatha Buddha, the Mahavira Suttas, and the Buddha's teachings, lot of parallelism. There's a lot of parallelism. For the sake of interest, if we are to remember, they both appreciated this analytical method rather than this traditional Brahmana teaching. And both of them renounced the house, not the household, palace, and then completely live like beggars. Both of them appreciated the female. Till that there was no any chance for the female. Both of them created equal chance for the females to come up and do practice and talk about in this very life. Both of them in this very life. And they had a lot of followers at that time. So they are the Attapatisambhidha is being prescribed. Attapatisambhidha means one thing you have to understand. Each and every atom in the world represents the whole universe. So if you select one atom and then study it, you study the whole universe. And therefore, selecting the particular the part, the particular object or particular phenomena or particular benchmark or reference mark is something you have to do at the beginning. Otherwise, if you are going to select many things, that is what you call Kamasu Kallikani Yoga. Going for varietal entertainment, one to other, no end. So instead, select one pivotal point, one reverence point, and then thorough upon that, that is we can say, Attapatisambhidha. So the Buddha, going still further when compared with the Mahavira, he prescribed, take your own body as the pivotal point. You take your own body as the laboratory, experimenting ground. And he did it for so much of eons of time. And in the last birth after the enlightenment, he took Kayanupassana, the body, as the pivotal point. And therefore he gave value to the body more than a creature. Creature is a created one, completely under the creator's command. But the way the Buddha gave the value for the body is something beyond the creature. So, more you study the body, you become a creator rather than the creature. That is the important of the human body, that the important of the teaching of the Buddha. So therefore, taking this body as a reference point or pivotal value, it's a huge revolution to the human mind. And there you can take the body, your own body, as the exchange point or a pivotal point, and then when and where you become aware of it, that is something we call introvert. All the other things when you are interested in call extrovert or overtly, so it is endless. you will be bewildered, you will be gotten mad. But when you are taking the body and you go inwardly, there may be an end. So therefore, taking one's own body is centrifugal or centrifetus. Centrifugal is the when you are rotating very fast, throwing out. Centrifetus means inward changing. So all the scientific tools we can use in Buddhism, scientific tools meant for extrovert, searching other things, but the teaching of the Buddha using the same tool, introvert. It's such a revolutionary thing. It appear like very simple, appear like very straightforward, but no one came out with that. Because people are interested in the outside things, that is what you call varietal entertainment, Kama Sukallikan Yoga, changing object to object, visual objects, sounds, smells, tastes, tactile sensation, and thinking completely outwardly. So it is sending mad. So they are the giving this Attapatisambhidha, Buddha is giving a kind of an experiment that is leading inward and leading to an end. So therefore, whenever someone going to study, going to analyze, so going to be with one's own body, he or she end up with a situation very difficult to express the experience of the present moment. Whenever you become here and now, under the nose experience, you can experience thoroughly, but very difficult to express. That itself indicates so much profound about the present moment, about the being aware of oneself. So they are Attapatisambhidha must have the limitation, must have the aphorisms when you are looking at, when you are look into your body, the present moment, what are the things you are supposed to look at. So therefore, masters and teachers, they prepared a lot of guidelines as far as Attapatisambhidha is concerned. So you can take the whole body as a one system, one unit, or you can cut into four elements, or you can cut into 32 parts, or you can take whatever the phenomena, and these things make the list of objects of meditation in the Buddhist literature. So most important thing is the breath, because all the other objects, either samatha or vipassana, the breath is catering for the both. So this is a very simple, very important thing. And if one is aware of it, he or she may start with anything. Start with the qualities of the Buddha, or remembering the death, or loving kindness, whatever it may be, that is to calm and collect, and they have to come back to the breath in order to make the channels open both for the vipassana and samatha. So at the beginning, even the master or the disciple or the practitioner do not know what are the personality traits that particular person is having. So very difficult to say you have to do samatha or you have to do vipassana. You have to give a fair chance, and through feedback only one can read, one can guess that his or her tendencies, his or her traits are more towards the samatha vipassana. So one must not rush into. One must take a chance with the whole body, or the breath body, and do it with wholeheartedly, and let the breath become face to face, and try to keep it as long as possible. Then only you can make sure, now I am here on the in breath or out breath, or now I am sitting. The breath is much subtle, breath is much a tiny object than the whole body. And Vinnanvaya Samman is with the breath, he or she must understand the value of Attapatisambhidha. What is the general understanding of the breath? What is the general understanding? The in-breath versus out-breath, to be more sharp. And they are the words, the way he or she is explaining, the listener can understand his or her mind is not with the past, not with the future, not with the other person, not with the other place, but with the breath, and they are also in-breath or out-breath. So that sharpness may start the journey. Otherwise, you are talking about the cock and bull stories. No one can guess what is happening. So therefore, both the parties has to agree upon this pivotal point, this reference point, this object of meditation. So first and foremost, you have to define the subject, what you are going to talk about. Don't talk nonsense. You have to tell, now I am sitting, I am going to talk about my in-breath and out-breath, or I am going to talk about my rising and falling, or I am going to talk about the sitting body posture, or I am going to talk about the walking, and my attention is with the lower part of the body or in the soul. This territory must be very, very clear, very, very sharp. Without that, if you are going to talk about, it is something like painting a picture on the sky. There cannot be. There should have the canvas. You have to first define the canvas. So that very clearly, Attapatisambhidha is stressing to define your object. And then you have to tell, are you successful to advert the mind or direct mind to that particular object you are discussing, and what are the ways and means if you have employed, maybe noting, or maybe directing the mind without noting. Likewise, you have to tell your method of meditation, your effort, your inputs to cope with that particular object. So that is very important. Otherwise, you may be imagining, or you may be hallucination, thinking you are in the breath. So it never happened because mind never usually go to the breath. It's a universal fact. Unless otherwise Buddha or disciple come and tell you, it's a very, very big journey. Starting point is very, very important. So therefore, please fix your mind to your body. Even if you have fair effort, it's very difficult. It goes beyond words. Without such an effort, our mind never come to the here, now I am. It's a completely out of the picture. So therefore, when and where someone listening to the talk and being one's own well-being and try this particular kind of object and be successful, that story must be very highly highlighted. That to tell, my object is breath. I noted when the breath happened as in breath or out breath. So otherwise, I came to know the in breath and out breath without noting. So this is the part you are working out with the sum. And then what did you come to know? So this part we can say Attapatisambhidha, that is common sense. Before you go to the detail, for example, in a court, you have to tell the case number. You have to tell, this is what I am going to do. And this is my witness. Without that, if you go and talk nonsense in the court, it not be valid. The judge will never consider it as. So likewise, this Attapatisambhidha part, just physics. Simply physics. You have to tell the object, and you have to tell how did you comes to know and what did you see. You have to say it's a single dimension, double dimension, or three dimensional, or four dimensional. What kind of a thing you are talking about? So that is where we need the common sense, we need the language, we need the expression. So this part appear like kindergarten. That is why elderly people can't meditate, because they cannot understand the simple fact. Simple fact of Attapatisambhidha. What are you talking about? So each and every time when the interview reports happen, you have to very carefully listen if you are listening to someone. Where the attention is, where the adverting is, what he or she is talking about. And when we are listening to the normal talking, it is utter nonsense. No one is defining the subject. No one is giving the method of approach. No one is giving what it comes to know. That is what we call gossiping. But instead here, Attapari Sambhita, you are defining particular object and you say, this is the method I use to go into that object and this is what I comes to know. That is what my experience. So if you are defining one thing, one particular part of the universe, that explains everything. But if you are not a meditator, you will never believe by focusing the attention to your body, you can be aware of the world. You can be aware of the universe. That's why the Buddha says, within your body, whole universe is there, and the cause, so approximate factor also there. Don't look outside. Whenever you look outside, it is partial. Whenever you look in, one day you will hit the target. So therefore, many people go to the universities, go to the libraries, and go picnic, and everywhere outwardly. It's utter outwardly. Not that it is just a wastage of time, that you may develop some kind of a skill. But the day you be attentive to the inwardly, and there what did you comes to know is the part we call Attapati Sambhita. So, from the economics point of view, whenever a person go to the market or see, he look into how to maximize profits. In order to maximize profits, he has more sense. So we call him an economist. And whenever a politician look at the situation, he know how to establish the power. It's a power hunger. So his interpretation, he knows the way to improve the power. And in the social people, to have the popularity. They look at it in a different way, but all of them are very skillful in their subject, but outwardly. They will never end it. But the yogi, in this particular sutta, he says he is looking inwardly to one's own body, here and now. And when you come into that situation, it's a huge achievement, even for a split second. And then he or she has to give the methodology for the other person to listen. Because overall you can't explain here now why. It's such a profound thing. Not a single language can explain when I am here and now. So you have to tell, I understand here and now through the breath. I am going to understand, my primary object is the rising and falling. Oh, I understand my here and now because when I am sitting, I feel the pressure. I feel the touching point. So when I am walking, I feel the here and now by touch of the ground or the wind movements or listening, whatever it may be. So to communicate or to make the face-to-face with you and your object and your person you are relating when you are writing to reduce the communication misunderstanding, this Attapati Sambhita is very, very important. So, that is utterly lacking in today's communication. People are talking, but never leading, because they are changing subjects so quickly. Just listen to two people and see how quickly they are changing the subject, where they start and where they end up with. And still they have a lot of things to talk, not finished. But instead, if you are taking one object and if you are going to develop the information, collect information, there may be an end because it is cumulative. Experience is cumulative. So that is the specific meaning here for Attapati Sambhita. And if you are sharp enough and if you are consistent enough, if you manage to keep on observing that particular phenomena, the first face value and repetitive application, continuous observation is definitely going to teach you very fast another lesson. For example, if you take the opening instructions the Buddha given for the yogi, aranyagatova, rukkumulagatova, sunyagaragatova, nishidati pallankam, abhujitva. He says, go into the forest because your attention will not be distracted. Sit under a tree. It's very natural. And come to a solitude place, the people are, co-practitioners are not sensuous or sexually driven people. They are all with the same attention. And going to forest, sitting under a tree or come to a solitude place itself is your voluntary decision. No one can force you. And once you come, sunyagara gatova nishidati pallanga, there are four postures, and alert and the least amount of shaking you find in sitting posture. Of course, sleeping is much better, but as quickly you can fall asleep. So therefore, sitting posture is the one to the unshakability, the best. And it's very enlightening, very alert. You have to keep the posture. And when you go to meditation center, you can see, even to start with, many yogis are not serious about their posture. They wanted to have comfort. So therefore, ultimately, the attention will be distracted. So therefore, we may be, it's an imagination, the statue of the Buddha. It says how much he has given attention, not the just body, but sitting posture. Nishidati pallankam abhujitva. And be aware, now I am sitting. And this abhujitva is the kind of a term. It says, get a mental figure. Once you sit, how it different from the standing posture? How is different from the walking posture? How is it different? How much it is different from this lying down posture? So that is the way abhujitva, aboga karana. Abhujitva means that you get a mental figure because you are asked, if possible, to close your eyes. And then get a mental figure. This is the starting point. And therefore, more and more you practice, you will at least at the beginning give the alignment for your structure, your body posture. So that itself is no one, usually people don't consider. They just lie down and lean against a wall or something like start with. And ultimately it is inviting you to be lethargic. So therefore day by day, if you are trying to develop the common sense or to say attapatisambhida, sit in a such a comfortable, symmetrical and relaxed position and get the figure it out. When I sit comfortably, when I close my eyes, this is my standing, my sitting posture. So that is the starting point. That is a huge loving kindness to your body. It's a huge value to the humanity, your being a human being. So, more and more you practice, you get the opening alignment very, very serious. So, that's why many people relate it with the yoga practices to keep the body erect. Keep the body erect and take the figure. Take the configuration and it appear like a pyramid in the Cairo or like an anthill or like a chaiti. So that understanding, I am sitting and I know that I am sitting, this is the starting thought moment of enlightenment. This itself is enlightenment. Whenever you know that I am sitting nothing, any other show off, but to attapatisambhida, to understand or realize sittings as they are, that how, when I sit comfortably, how do I feel? And that itself is Nibbana. And that is a starting. And then Ujjunkayam Panidaya. The Buddha says, keep the body erect because basically in sitting posture, your attention is going to the air element. That means the breath, or that means the respiration. And therefore your respiratory system must be erect without bending. And if it is so, you may develop some abnormal situation. So at least at the beginning, Ujjunkayam Panidaya. Satim Parimukhaṁ Upattapetta. And now, take the mindfulness as the forerunner. Not the faith, not the energy, not the concentration, not the wisdom. Satim Upattapetta. My whole effort is to be alert, to be mindful, to aware that I am sitting. And that part, daily you must make sure. If you are driving your car, your own, it says, please, before starting the car, check the nuts and bolts. All the nuts and bolts. Check the radiator water. Check the basic things, because once started, no chance. So therefore, before you start, you have to see the lightness. So likewise, whenever you sitting, whenever you are going to walk, taking this configuration is a kind of a loving kindness, very attention, paying attention to your body. So many people talk about metta, talking about loving kindness. They don't know how to sit. They don't know how to walk. And not giving enough attention. I am not only telling giving attention in sitting, but when you are mentioning in the report, these things must be indicated. I am sitting, and how when I just give a sit comfortably. And that is a starting point. And then sato vasa sati, sato pasa sati. Once attention is, or mindfulness taken the helm, or it is given the upper hand, you breathe mindfully in, and you breathe mindfully out. That means you are not seeing, you are not hearing, you are not smelling, you are not tasting, you are sitting, and the main thing you take it as the breath. Of course, some other may take it as the rising and falling or sitting posture. So I would make a remark, if it is rising and falling, definitely it is vipassana. There is no chance for samatha. But if you are doing with in-breath and out-breath, chances are there for samatha and vipassana. So keep it in your mind for your general understanding and see how many breaths. With your whole morality restraint, with your whole sacrification of your dear and near ones, with your whole sacrification of your other activities, you come and sit. And see, can you make use this opportunity just to direct your attention to the breath? And if it is successful, start the report from that point of onward. Don't talk about the unsuccessful failures, then it is the report itself become negative. So whatever may be, whenever you confronted with the primary object, that must be your starting point of your report. Then only you can cut short it, otherwise a lot of cock and bull stories. And now, whenever you see in-breath and out-breath, the Buddha mentioned, Dīgaṁ vāsa santo dīgaṁ asa sāmiti pajānāti. You may see, soon after the walking and other activities come, your breathing is very long because you need a lot of oxygen. So therefore you see long in-breath and long out-breath. So this is the Attapatthisamvidhā. Soon I sit, I see long in-breath, long out-breath. Not it must be. So if it is so, you may start breathe long and breathe out long, forcefully, in order to satisfy Buddha. No, it is not the idea. The Buddha sees it's a common sense. After sitting, after walking, you come and sit. At the beginning, you may observe long in-breath and long out-breath. So this is the cross-section. And report what you say. And now onward, the Buddha is slowly taking you for a ride. He says, if you are, everything is correct, everything goes without a problem, the breath become rasaṁ vāsa-santo-yathāṁ-atha-thāmiti-pajānāti, the long in-breath becomes shorter. Long out-breath becomes shorter. Now you see the breath that you have fixed, breath that you have taken as a pivotal point, the breath you taken as the object is not no more an object. It is no more pivotal. It is no more benchmark because it is cheating. It is changing. It is becoming something other. So if someone can follow, at the beginning you take like a snapshot of the breath. So it's a snapshot. Imagine you are going to video it moment by moment how the breath is changing. So this is the point from Attapatisambhidha to Dhammapatisambhidha. Anything you fixed and to continue to observe, what you fix is not the what you are observing after a few seconds. It is changing. That changing nature don't take minutes. It never takes seconds, split second. So quickly it is changing. So more and more you fix it at the beginning, the changes will be very clear cut. If it is not fixed at the beginning, very difficult to see the chronological changes. So that is why at the beginning you have to fix it. You have to frame it. The framing is a technique. I get the long in breath, long out breath. And you have to observe, slowly, slowly it may be shorter. Do not try to make it longer. Do not try to force breathe in order to keep the breath prominent. If it is natural unfolding evolution and the metamorphosis is going to happen, you see the changes. So that changes is going against our idea, because once we fix something, let's say take it as an object, take it as a benchmark or reference pivotal point, we consider it is not to be changed. So therefore, any change appear like a threat. Any change appear like unexpected. Any change appear like not well fixed mindfulness like. So therefore, even though at the beginning you fix it, even though you repetitively apply the mind, don't develop permanent notion. Anything you observe, repetitive observation, it indicates the face value, the starting point, ever-changing of the second, third, fourth thought moment, second, third, fourth, minute-wise. So observing the thing, keeping the mind open to the nature to happen, first and foremost thing you find is changing nature. That is very difficult someone to express as an advancement or as a natural unfolding, because at the beginning he or she is being instructed to fix it as an object, as a pivotal point, as a reference point. But the very thing you fixed immediately going to change. So that repetitive application, what is going to give, it is irrespective of whether you are male or female, you advance, you are amateur, or you are Buddhist or non-Buddhist, changing happen. But no one expect it, because he or she, in order to get this primary object or in-breath, he has forgotten everything in the rest of the world. And fixing on the breath, for example, or rising and falling. And then when you are trying to observe repetitively, it is unbecoming, it is changing, it is cheating, it is becoming something other. So, without prejudices, without premeditated ideas, just to see that very fixed thing, very thing you fixed, is how quickly changing. It's a challenge to your language, challenge to your observation, and not only that, it's a challenge to your egotistic idea. It is a challenging for your conceit. It's challenging to your desire. So therefore, whenever you become desire, full of desire, whenever you feel with the conceit, whenever you feel with the egotistic, you expect that object to be repetitively equal each time you see. And that's the point, your expressions, your presentation become quite misleading. So that is why soon you get the attaparisambhida, whatever may be the first look or face value, don't expect that to be again the same. If it is so, we call the permanent notion or permanent perception, but instead, once fix it and change is happening, accommodate it, be preparedness is, which is very hard, very difficult to say, is it something you can train your mind or you are born with to accept this impermanent notion? Many are not born with. They consider it as a threat. Therefore, even if they are bound to see, they never explain it as something progressive, something positive. So teachers has to tell, train, yes, at the beginning fix, yes, that is attaparisambhida, but immediately expect that is to be changed. Or they say, whatever you see, just report. No one report, because they are expecting object to be permanent, whatever they selected. And that is our nature. Whenever you have 1001 objects, if you select something, you have an attachment to that. You never expect that to be changed. So that is the selection, choice, and the disadvantage of your choosing nature. Anything you select, you consider as permanent, desirable, auspicious, it is under the control of me. Nitya, Sukha, Subha, Atta. But select, but anyway, let it be impermanent. Let it be unauspicious. Let it be, give me a pain rather than the pleasure. Let it be beyond my control. And that preparedness must be there. Someone to give a free observation itself. So therefore one must be enlightening beforehand, then only he can observe the object. It's an unfair kind of a combination. Because if normally people, beginners, go and expect something to be fixed. But immediately, soon he or she go into this meditation, immediately the changing going to happen. So they never expect it. So they think mindfulness is gone wrong, or my morality is wrong, or I am, the object is cheating me, and something wrong. So them to report as it is, without prejudices, without preconceived ideas, is happy like impossible. Never mind. Because everyone is going this way. The day you observe continuously and ready to report, the changes, a very remarkable thing happened. So to say, at the beginning you see in-breath stand by itself, it is never be the out-breath. Out-breath stand by itself, it never be the in-breath. So whenever changes happen, they become equal. That black and white become grey. And that change is you feel like sending mad. Because you discreetly, discriminately understand this is in-breath, this is out-breath. More and more you to observe it, it appears like an air movement. And they are, instead of individual characteristics, the common characteristics about to happen. So this is what changing from the attaparisambhida to dhammaparisambhida. More and more you observe, more and more you fix, more and more you delimit it, they are stand itself by other, from the others. They have their own intrinsic characteristics, personal characteristics, individual characteristics. But whenever you about to see continuously, their individual characteristics become disappear and common character going to appear. It appear like maddening. Very difficult for a mind to see, at the beginning you see, well, this is not the other one is not the, this one. and more you practice, you find both have the some common characters. So common character is more talking to the absolute truth. The individual character, the reductionist character, is talking about the common sense. So from the absolute, the common sense to the absolute truth, this fast changing is difficult to track. Leave aside this thing and how to explain, how to put it to interview report, how to present it in a sequential order, is a huge task. It's a huge task because we are utterly, our mind is developed utterly on the permanent notion. Education is, it's a data, it's a pixel, it's a bits of information. Each and everything is different from others. That is how the computer is working. You reduce that piece of data or the information different from the others. So in 1001, such pixels and the data come into being, you can have number of combinations. So when the combination happen, you can't think about the individual unit. So likewise, when and where you see one in-breath, out-breath, and more you observe whenever the in-breath and out-breath come equal-like or like a vibration-like or energy-like, very difficult to keep the track. So that is why Atta Parisambhida is completely cut off and there is another Parisambhida, another discernment. The Dhamma Parisambhida is called principles. It is called the nature. It is called Dhammata. Whatever the way you observe, it is working according to the nature. That nature is sometimes in Japanese way they call Tao. Nature is running. So it is ever changing. So you by one unit, one piece, you let it change according to the nature and at the beginning consider it as a individual character, personal character. Ultimately you find wherever you may be starting, the changing nature is a common character of any materiality on the earth. So that is the point science lost it. Science tried to fix it. This is hydrogen, this is helium, this is this and that they put into the periodic cycle and they try to fix it in a cage. But ultimately, that was true as far as the Newtonian physics is concerned. But later when they are increasing the number of atomic energy, they start, some atoms are releasing electrons and protons by their own will, that radioactive, and they become different. They become something other. And then we have to put in what cage? More it becomes 230 odd number of atomic units and it is naturally radiating. And that particular thing is not true to type. It is emitting something. Who initiated it? And after emitting, what it becomes? So that changes ultimately they found, even though they have configuration like hydrogen, helium and kind of thing. They are coming from not, this is not the final, they are coming from subatomic particles. Subatomic particles have some similarity. This is proton, this is electron, this is positron, this is quark, many, many things. And they are in a different combination, we give different names. But they are not behaving after that particular configuration. They can reshuffle it. When it is reshuffled, it is better to talk in terms of subatomic particles. And when you go to the subatomic particles, not more than 200 years ago, they found that subatomic particles also leading to just energy. Anytime energy can make subatomic particles, and subatomic particles can make atoms, and then more gigantic atoms, and ultimately we call it a human, it's also male, female, but we reduce to the energy, there's no male femaleness. It has the possibility, it has the potential to make anything like. So therefore, how can we say this is hydrogen, this is helium? So if you look at it, inside the tiny particles, tiny energy quantums, they are not answerable, they are not true to type. They can change from one to anything That is how Einstein came, and he says E is equal to mc square. Energy and the mass. Energy, non-local. Energy, no specific gravity. When it collapses, it has a specific place. It has a specific the weight. So from this energy to matter, matter to energy changes, science made mystic. Earlier science was very square. It is very concrete. But when the Einstein came and say this is leading to energy, and energy immeasurable, non-local, no specific gravity, no weight, and then is it physics or chemistry? Or is it something mystics? So that is the point where they lost the basic grounds. They started mind science. Now you have to say energy become matter, matter become energy, and they found kind of a formula. The Schrodinger told, the Schrodinger energy waves collapse into matter when the consciousness interacts. When you look at, then it is changing from energy to matter. So what you see, that you are. You can make anything out of anything. So therefore, there is no creator and you creature. You are the creator. If you look at something very crazy and craving way, you feel like it is me. It is mine. And you attach it. But if you look at it as an envious way, enemy-like, you hate it. So the way you look at it indicates your present moment consciousness. It's your attitude. So you never expect you are changing so quickly. You never expect you are so cheating. You expect you are so changing, because so far you look at the things thinking you are the same and fixed and continuous without changing. Objects is changing, right? But more and more you see object itself is not fixed, is changing. It is ultimately threatening your base. It is threatening your pivot, internal, you're also changing. Your consciousness is the most fast changing thing. It attributes to the external thing, and you make your world out of the external thing. But you don't believe internal so much of changes. So when that happens, very difficult someone to keep the track with. Because earlier we thought, what we see are there outside in the world, and what you outside there is the thing we are seeing. But when you are to see, you are the person think is good or bad, whatever may be, the thing that will become a thing because of your consciousness. And science itself says they hide this fact for 100-150 years without expressing, because then whole scientific base eroded. And then only Einstein, at the beginning Einstein argued against. He told, no, that observer is fixed. External thing is changing. And in the discussion only he told, not the external thing, even the internal, your consciousness itself is changing. So therefore what you are telling is not true even for a split second. Next moment it is something else. Because your mind is so quick changing. So through this external object, through the changing of the external object, if you are, even if it is boring, even if it is monotonous, even if it is uncertain, even if it is leading to fear, if you are to observe again and again, that fear is, that uncertainty is, because now you start to feel there is no something called me, it is just change, it is just energy. So accepting that, you must have Dhamma Patisambhida, you must have the principles of the world, or Dhammata. So to Atta Patisambhida or Dhamma Patisambhida, that means from the common sense or the external face value, to understand the things are how quickly changing, how much you are attributing names, attributing signs, and ultimately making stories out of that, fabricating, and we end up with mess up. Instead, because we are not accepting changing nature, so therefore we see fixed formulas and fixed shapes, fixed manners, fix nature, natural thing, but ultimately you have to understand they are true, but only momentary. For that moment it is true, next moment it is not. So this change, Atta Patisambhidha to Dhamma Patisambhidha, can happen anytime, it is happening, but our language is so fixed. Very difficult to, the limitation of the language, very difficult to express this hot changes. Language is kind of a corrupted thing. Language is kind of a blockage. So that is why Niruddhi Patisambhidha, Niruddhi means that how do you express it? How do you communicate it? The third one is you feel in the meditation any language. At the beginning it is very important to write the reports. Ultimately language becomes a barrier. It can carry to a certain extent, then you have to understand language is not omnipotent, omnipresent. It has its own limitation. So that is another reason by talking only you get committed. So therefore, don't express yourself. Wait and see another moment and see what you are going to express will be changed in the next moment. If you are observing in a scientific way, in a very open-minded way, the changing nature or this changing situation, you feel dumbbound. Anything expressed next moment is not true. Everything is changing. So therefore, changing nature is not changing. That's why the Buddha says the truth. Changing nature is never changing. This is the only thing never changing. So therefore, don't commit. Wait another one moment. Wait another one moment. That is called anupassana. Look at it again and again. And that is called vipassana. So a fool or an idiot or a square-minded person express quickly. And he is not waiting to observe the same thing again. So what is expressed is being changed. So if the other person comes and says what you have expressed is changed, he will fight with the person. He will never think, "But if I am patient enough and critical enough to look at the same thing again, I will agree with him because he says it's changing." But we will not. We say, "No, this is my observation, it is hard and fast." That is what we call the idiotness. That's called the foolishness. So therefore, there is a third aspect in this game, Niruddhi Parisamita, your language. How do you communicate with? So you can communicate, you can say this is the way I observe, may be true or not. For the moment, this is it. If it is so, no problem. If you are going to say, no, this is what happened, you have to follow me, this is the way it happened, this adamant nature, this comes from your conceit, ultimately, the person with the neutral observation understand the foolishness, understand the idiot nature, understand the conceit. They are talking and read the paper, listen to someone. Everyone is trying to force, they try to convince, they try to tell something. They are in an impatient situation to talk. They are not patient enough to observe the same thing again and again to see, before expressing, should I verify it again? No. That's called patience lead to nibbana. If you are impatient, you will express, ultimately you get committed, you have to defend what you have expressed. So this is the whole adult psychology. Adult psychology is called reasoning. You express it. Ultimately you give 1001 reason. Why I expressed like that, how it happened and kind of thing. But if you shut your mouth up and observe the same thing that you are going to tell, you will never talk. Before talking, you know it is changing, the changing nature. So the Buddha says, whatever to express, satchato, thetato, attasanghito, piyato, it might be something happened. It's something, reality. Don't think that supposing and hallucination and all the kind of thing, all the thing happy like it is going to mystics. So if something happened, it's worth talking. And tell it without exaggeration, without camouflage. This is what it happened. And the third one is, the listener must have some practical utility value. Otherwise, shut your mouth up. you are disturbing. It must be Atta Sangeeta. And he must accept it happily. Don't try to convince. So then arrogance, then everything happened. But even then, the Buddha says, I mark time. Even if it happened, even if I am telling without exaggeration, even if it is helpful to the other person, even if he is happy, I mark time because his maturity must be there. Therefore, when you are talking Dhamma, don't pour into the upside down cups. It's your mistake. It is not the Dhamma mistake. When you are going to the Dhamma Patisambhita, no one can understand because people stop at the common sense or face value, and when they are to penetrate, must be very patient. They have to look into the same object repetitively. And even then, before expressing, he must consider, should I wait and see once more or just get committed? So when Jnanananda says, whatever you do, you must have your critical outlook. You must, before expressing, before doing everything, just have another patient look, and then only you can understand. Otherwise, you will be just pushing, just pressing, adverting, ultimately leading to miscommunication. So that is why the religious, all the religions on the earth are undergoing four stages. When the master is there, he can give lucid, direct explanation. But the master gone, disciple starts, kind of commentary. He says, this is what the master thought. No, you think like that. I am thinking, I know the master, he is different. So then, second time, you start sectarianism. And then, religion. They make out of religion out of that. And then onward, you can't wash and clean. Now, the Catholic Christianity, they have undergone, they explain Max Weber, he's giving four stages. And one of the Sri Lankan person, he says how the same dirty thing happening in the Buddhism. The real thing is the nature. It's nothing new Buddha discovered. He says this is the nature. Nature is changing. And you are going to make formulas out of that, you are going to make theses out of that and everything, and then that is the way you try to fix it, but it is not listening, it is not true to time, and ultimately suffering. If you understand nature changing, no problem, because changing is not my mistake, it's a nature. And then, truth of suffering is a acceptable universal truth. Not inflicting myself, inflicting or lowering myself or inferiority to myself. The truth is the reality. So parents are not happy to show it to the children. They say, no, our children must not have suffering. And teachers are not happy to show this thing to the disciples. Kings are not happy to say suffering. So therefore, they make a situation whereby it appears like the whole world is no death, no old age, no sickness. So every sick people must go to a hospital, otherwise healthy people must be accused. All the old age people go into the house for elders, mad people into the asylum. And the street must be full of young, robust man and woman. And the cars and clean, and this is the world the God created. So we are very happy to live in that camouflage rather than going to India. The person is dying there, the other person eating here, no problem. Accident happened, the carcass is there, that's it, no problem. And the next vehicle go over it. That is India. And all the dirty things and the good things are very close by. So we call that an undeveloped society. And we call this is a developed society because it's utter camouflage. That is the way the Buddha, that's the way King Suddhodana make it for the Supreme Siddhartha. Not to see old people, not to see sick people, not to see carcasses and not to see renounced people. So he is kept inside. So when you come to a town like this, exactly the same. Each and everyone is mad, but anyway, they put into the asylum. And you put every side, you see the advertisement? all the young people and girls and boys, they are in the who run the world, girls, who run the world, girls, you know. They are. We are the people running, because the old people are outdated. Sick people, they are outdated. Elderly people are outdated. Monks, no use. And we are the So how much we appreciate in that as the development, technology, Western world, first world country. And go to India or Sri Lanka, you find everything is the same, this thing. And death is there, old age is there, sickness is there, mad is there, they are living in the same house. So this is the way the God became very popular than the Buddha. This is the way, because he knows, not the God, of course, the people make use it, he knows the people are crazy, they are behind the desire, and they are ready to sacrifice anything for this pleasure principle. So therefore, whenever the Attapadisambhidha becomes Dhammapadisambhidha, it is not a result of meditation. It's a neutral observation. It's a repetitive observation. Whether you like it or not, it is happening. So our language is not meant for that. So therefore, Niruti Padisambhidha means how to express it. That is, how to articulate it. No one can do it. That is the most important thing in the Buddha, is having so much of, the knowledge and the compassion. He know how to use the words, and therefore all the utterance and the teaching of the Buddha, they appear like sacred. Because he never misuse words. The way he is presenting is very nice, so therefore when you come to the Attapadisambhidha, easily we can explain, more and more you meditate, how much you become skillful in writing your interview reports. Beginners, they don't know. They are just like a baby's, or we can say, elders learning the second language. Like, after long time only you will understand how to meditate and what to report. By that time you are already enlightened. After enlightenment only, you can really experience. Till that, you have to do only one method, that is trial and error. But our conceit never allow us to do it. We want to do, first and foremost, at the first time, we must get the full marks. It never happened. So therefore, when you are coming to the Niruti Padisambhidha, you can understand the expressibility. When you are writing a thesis, when you are writing a research paper, you can understand how much it must be the sensible, how much it must be sequential, otherwise you will get failed. Exactly the way in interviews, you must be writing what is your first impression, and when you are observing how much it is changing, and how much your language is rich enough to communicate it to the other person. It never happens. Only we can do some improvements when compared to yesterday. So therefore we have to keep on doing. While doing only, you refine it. So that refinement, it's simply you can put into, it's a matter of time. You have to do it again and again. So anything you have done, so-called mistakes, never become mistakes. Because otherwise there's no other way. So therefore you have to be very humble, you have to be very innocent, and you have to understand some or the other, you have to express it. And without expressing, the real value never happens. It says, for example, you know now how to sit. And after sitting, after a while, after a long time, you know, my mind is often take the breath as the primary object. So whenever the mind face to face with the breath, now you fairly know the mindfulness is intact and it is gathering. And while it's happening, imagine that all of a sudden a bird sound came and mind jump out of the breath, and mindfulness is now with the bird sound because it is more attractive than this boring, monotonous breath. It's natural. So whenever you comes to know now mind is without prior permission, it jump into another attractive object. And when you know, I came here and sit with the promise or taking the primary object as the breath, but I know after a while the breath become very boring, breath become very monotonous, and then anything become very attractive. So the mind is jumping. Now I know I am with the bird sound. So imagine from here coming back to the primary object. First and foremost, you must understand something wrong somewhere. That is the first and most important knowledge, not to worry, not to regret, not to be inferior, something wrong somewhere. Because I am supposed to be in the breath, but I am with the bird sound. But as far as you know it, it's a knowledge. So that is the most important radical thing in the mindfulness. You are not supposed to be with the same object, even though you have set the example and aim. So whenever you go there, if you can say, I was meditating on my breath, I had number of breath, it was this is the in-breath, this is out-breath, all of a sudden, I heard sound, and I came to know, it is not the breath, it is not a pain, it is not a sound, a thought, it is a sound. And you report, it's a bird sound, it's appearing or disappearing. And then when you are observing, and when you know you have changed the track, if you can hint, even though mindfulness jump from the main thing to the sideline or secondary object, without a regret, I can aware the track change. And then if it is so, you can understand as far as you are in the more desirable object and the in-breath and out-breath, more chances are there for the unarisen defilements to arise. Because it is beyond your control. Non-governable. But you know, I am with the sound. And if you are not regretting, you can understand, you can easily go back to the breath. And as far as you go back to the breath, no more defilements. So you get two options. This is more desirable, more vulnerable, more to the defilement. And the other one is more boring, more monotonous. But I can come back. When I come back, no defilement. So these two become equal if you are not regret. If you are regretting, your mind is get bewildered. You can't have that clarity. So therefore, soon you understand, I am in a sound, I am taking an example. Then you have to sarati. First thing is you know you are in the ground. And then vivarati, you clearly understand, I am now in a vulnerable situation, but being a yogi, I can go back and clearly you can understand two options are there. And then uttani karoti is never hesitating. You say from this sound to the breath, you can bring without second person, without second help, without any opinion, you can bring it. That is your human right. You know this is vulnerable, this is not vulnerable. This is very interesting, this is very boring. This is my primary object, this is my secondary object. This I call under control, this is beyond control, from here to here. If you can clearly understand, there's nothing blocking, I can bring it back. That is called Uttani Karoti, is highlighting what luck. I have two options, and without anyone's help, I can bring from the wrong thing to the correct thing. But the Buddha says, even if you do it, if you can express it, if you can report it, desheti, you won't get the benefits, you won't get the merits, you won't get the endowment. So therefore, do it, and you have to express, clearly you have to tell, while doing anapanasati, sound came, and anapanasati was this, sound was this. And I know, this sound is not my primary object. And I am not much worried, but I know I can come back to the primary object. And therefore, because I am not worried, and when I coming back, I know there's nothing new I need. Everything is sent out with them, full-fledged, fully facilitated. And that is what my Dullabho Manusatta Padilabho. I am a human. I can come back. And without reporting, you won't reap the harvest. So that is the point. If you have to tell someone, co-meditator. And then you can understand the possible potential defilements going to happen by continuing indulging of the sound. You can cut off without a second person, and that bake in the defilement null and void. Now you know the art. Now you know the technique. And therefore let the mind to play hell. Let the mind to send kites. No problem. Moment you know, you bring back here. So this is the way this pleasure principle, you are sarcastically look at your pleasure principle. You know pleasure principle is always you make vulnerable. And you know the boredom, the monotonous, the known object, even if it is not the pleasure principle, this is my oasis. This is my pure land. This is my recovery. So whenever you see that, you see anything can be a defilement or anything can be a purification. It is up to you. It is basically depending upon you are not regretting. And second thing, you know, I have to report it. Otherwise, it will never get galvanized, never get reinforced. And Richard Davidson writing in his the emotional life of your brain, he says this as a resilience. When the mind is shaken, how much time it takes to come back to your basics tenant. And he can understand through the functional MRI scan, and he put the person inside and says, inside the scan, you will see pictures. Look at very concentrated way, knowing that you are looking at the picture. So he monitor the brain function, and all of a sudden give a sound. And one part is controlled experiment, other part is not controlled. Once you give a sound, it is very attractive. And then immediately the brain function changing from the hearing places to the listening. And then sound disappears, is bewildered, disturbed. How long it will take back to the normal run as he was an observer. So he found two stages. Understanding, I am wrong. And understanding, I can come back. But the Buddha gave four stages. Buddha gave 2,600 years ago. He gave four stages more than this functional MRI scan and the science. So what a clarity to see our mind, let it do mistakes. Mistake never be a mistake when you know it is a mistake. That is the point the moral people can't understand. And people do not know the value of reporting. Without reporting, no galvanizing. Without reporting, no reinforcement. So therefore, in the Buddha Sasana only we can do it. Imagine India, we are living in a world without the Buddha or teaching. What a vulnerable situation we are in. So therefore, we have all the potential, all the possibilities. We have to be very careful to write the starting point, the opening balance. And then you have to explain how it changes from anapanasati to sound maybe, or anapanasati thought maybe, anapanasati to pain maybe, or pain to anapana maybe. That everything you have to thin slice the time. And you can see at least four episodes. And if you can explain it, that definitely you can say you are on the first mugga or path definitely, because you explain without value judgment, without judging you wrong or correct, without regret. So that is what you call the scientific way. This is what you call the open-minded way. So for that you have to understand the opening balance, the common sense, the face value. And we give a chance, and when it's keeping the track with it, it itself is changing, and some other objects come and track also be changed. Whenever it happens, is your task is to resilience. How quickly I can go back to the starting point. And that is called tapas. Or that is called the ascetic. That is called the value of your meditation. Let any disturbance happen. No problem. And immediately when you come to know, if you come back, it is called, there's a doll for children, we call tumbling kelly. And when you kick it, it again stand. Whatever you throw it away, it stand by itself. So in Burma, every meditation center, they have a tumbling kili. And kick it. It will come back. And again you kick. So this is called resilience. Even the tumbling kili can do it, but we bloody fools can't do it. Because we think it is not done. We are very, no personality. How can I let everyone to come and kick me? Let anyone to come and kick me. We are sons of the Buddha. We are the daughters of the Buddha. The nature is to kick, but our way is to come back. And don't think if you do not know about the tumbling keli, it's called Pittai Dai in Burma. I bought number of dolls, but when you are keeping in Sri Lanka, it's too much of humidity. They dissolve. The papers go out. But plastic one is good. We have some penguins, tumbling keli. Imagine a flame. If there is a cross currents, the flame is moving. But when there is no cross currents, there is no one need to make it straightforward. So likewise, whenever the nivarana is working, our mind is shaky. When it becomes no nivarana, cross current, it will be unshaken. So unshaken nature is the reality. But we take flickering as the reality of the flame. So much we are fooled. The flickering is due to cross currents. So if you have an electric light, no flickering. The oil lamp, flickering is there. But whenever there is no cross currents, unshakability comes. Unshakability is not something you are earning. Only thing you is, you try to do away with the cross currents. So it is happening 1001 time in one city. Everyone considers a mistake. No one thinks it is something to be reported. Even if you are reporting, you do not know how to report in thin slicing of time and episode-wise. The day you understand, the day you report it, you become the best orator in the world. Any place, any people, you can go and talk because you know you are talking something you know. It is not artificial. It is not second-hand. All the other people, they have to have prepared because they have to lie. When you are lying, you have to be prepared. If you are talking what you know, no problem. Even for the Buddha, even go to the heaven, or even go to the Brahma world, or even go to the Yaksa world, no problem, because he is talking something, verifiability. So therefore, don't think about by reading books or contemplating, going to give that kind of direct touch. They are necessary, they have limited value. But the day you express yourself, what is happening, is the way is mind going out of the situation, and this is the way come back. And if you know the way come back, why worry? Let the mind to send kites, no problem. Whatever the defilements you are encountered with, whatever the misdeeds happening, everything becomes null and void. So you understand the power of mindfulness. Power of mindfulness is defined as pamade, nakampatiti sati balang. Even you become unmindful, main thing is not to worry. Then you can recover. If you get worried, you can't. Your mind is not healthy. Your mind is not sequential to recover. So therefore, this recovery part, if you can teach it to our children, nothing to worry you. They are endowed with this. But we are completely blocking it. To recover, we ask others' helps, other formulas, other theorem, other specialists. So they become paralyzed. They have their own recovered capacity, each and every human. So therefore, we are with the same potential, equal potential, even possibilities, but we never try. Our brain never work because of this technology, because of this expert. Because of this event management specialists, they do everything for you. So you have to just wait and you will be idiot. Utter idiot, no common sense. The joke is you don't have common sense. It is becoming uncommon now. Common sense is so uncommon, So someone has to come and say, this is done, it's not done. And you don't know, as far as diligence is concerned, you must be must not negligent about doing what you should do. So that's what we call duties. But equally you must understand not to do what you should not do. That part is never addressed in the present world. We are very expert doing something, but by doing, you are mishandling. Lot of misdoings are not to do things are happening. So that is the part we call moral shame and the moral fear. That's completely becoming eradicated for 200 years due to this bloody fool system called science. More and more science goes, no fear, no moral shame. And they are going to get the PhD and all the kind of thing, but they don't know how to do simple task. At least how to walk on the ground. No one can do it. They wanted to have shoes, and they wanted to have the level grounds, and they wanted to have all the kind of thing. Natanda Beri Polavadai in Sri Lanka we call, and they don't know how to walk in the normal ground. And because they have the fear of germs, and the leg is completely out of the normal situation, so you have to have a special licensing institute to teach walking. Bloody fools learn walking for 400,000 years of evolution. Now they can't walk. They have to have three-wheelers. They have to have shoes. So you see how much lack of common sense. So if you are going to say, they will ask, did you when they come from all the way to Sri Lanka to teach you us walking? When you go to the top-class schools, whenever they touch the ground, it's a completely new thing. They have never experienced. One person told that after 40 years, today only I remove the socks and walk because my wife says, you have diabetes, if you are going to kick or something like that, if the scratch happen, it will be the end. But I know by walking you can get rid of diabetes. Just walking. So the way the Buddha cut across, the prince, the king, came out of the palace, live like a beggar, and show, you see the potential of your mind, see the body knowledge, it is more expertise than anything. So therefore, knowing the common sense and the change, evolution, when you observe one thing for a longer time, and that all embedded already in the packet. It's in your package. That you never use because of the support services, because of this event management, because of the other people come and help, and you feel the fool, you also going to help and others. That's a double-fold foolishness. Lead the people to handle as the things happen. And if necessary, you can give an advice. If impossible, you can give. But we are, without doing it, we are doing everything. So ultimately, people lose us. Its own, and when I am practicing, I can't say practicing, 77 or 78, Dr. Parakram Fernando came to me and told that, a lot of things he told, human beings, they claim this earth is the Manussaloke, it's a human earth. Because they are the people predicting and formulating the constitutions and governments and everything. But if you ask a cockroach will tell it's a cockroach world. Because they are very efficient than human. And they are the last beings to die. Human will kill off. Die off. But you think that if the humans are not going to happen, will other beings are going to suffer? No. They will be happy. Because humans are really distorting this. But he told two exceptions. One thing is the goldfish. Other one is the silkworm. They too completely spoiled by human. They don't know how to earn their food. Goldfish, they can't live in the normal world. The silkworm, never. they are associated human and they have completely lost without human. All the others will do. Imagine you bloody fellows are not at home. The household is how happy they are now. If you all are not there. If you are there, you got four fingers and do this and do that, and the household, your other family members, utterly in desperation. Now they may be throwing parties. This is all half-hearted and mad people, they have gone to retreat. So they will be happy. So now Nisaranvani is utterly happy because I am not there. I know before coming, I say, now I am leaving for 2 months. Do whatever you like. So if you are not there, the world will be better. So therefore, don't worry about the others. They can manage their own thing, mind your own business. Be mindful. And you see, what a wonderful life. What a picnic. Rather than self-imposed or vested interest you are thinking about, it's an utter dream, imagination. So therefore, the day you know the common sense and to go into the law of principles, then you see your egotistic contribution is null and void, negative. It's 0%. They are happening. But you have to be an observer, very clearly the phenomena, thin slicing of time, and the expressibility is something extraordinary human. Atimanusikai, adimanusikai. So that expression is making change. So therefore we must not only practice, we must understand how to explain what is happening without a value judgment, without preconceived ideas, without premeditated, then that report becomes very revealing. So I would like to sum up the talk today and to go further with the other rest of the points in time to come. I hope these things will make our journey not like a regimentation, like a hobby. Thank you very much for listening.